Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Raleen Marks with the Israel Report. Good morning, how are you?
Good morning, and how can I not be but buoyed this morning when I hear your news about rain and good weather, and I hear Dr. Myburg, and you know, to everything there is a season. What a way to start the weekend.
It absolutely is very, very nice. So, lots of stories, lots of things to talk about, and I wanted to ask you to kick off with this whole Kamala Harris story, because it has been not necessarily always reported accurately, but what happened?
Okay, so the U.S. Vice President Kamala Harris, she was off to George Mason University the other day, and she was addressing a group of students when one student who identifies as half Yemeni, half Iranian, said, Israel is doing ethnic cleansing. Now, Howard, I'm just as offended by the grammar at a university level like that as I am of the appalling statement. And instead of correcting or saying to the student, you know, I hear your concerns, but this is the situation, you know, let's look at the other side. She said, your truth should not be suppressed. Now, I think over the past year, we've heard so much of celebrities or wannabe celebrities or wannabe royals or everybody talking about their truth. But their truth does not necessarily mean the truth. And this, of course, has caused a great brouhaha here in Israel, as well as amongst American jury, all demanding that the vice president clarify her comments. Why did she not push back on those kinds of statements?
Have we heard anything from her or from the vice president's press secretaries?
Okay, so this is a developing story. Apparently, her office is working very hard with organizations. We know one of them happens to be the ADL, the Anti-Defamation League, and their CEO, Jonathan Greenblatt, tweeted out earlier this morning that he had spoken to aides in the vice president's office, and she, according to them, she is very proud of her long-standing pro-Israel record. But you know what? It's not enough. We need to hear more. We've heard also from the Democratic Majority for Israel. They're also dealing with her staff, and her staff told the Democratic Majority for Israel that her commitment to Israel's security is unwavering. But you know what? It's something like that we keep saying. You know, once you let the genie out the bottle, the genie is running wild. And this is the case here as well. She has to do some major damage control. We've heard that she is a senior advisor is making contact with Republican or Representative Ted Deutsch. Sorry, he's not a Republican. He's a Democrat. He's a Democrat for Florida, a very, very pro-Israel state. He's also the co-chair of the Bipartisan Anti-Semitism Task Force. We heard a lot from Representative Deutsch last week in Congress when he took Rashida Tlaib to task for her comments made on the floor. And he pulled no punches. And he's certainly going to want an explanation from the vice president why, in this opportunity to correct this kind of horrendous statement, she didn't do it. You know, she took the woke approach, your truth, you know, all that kind
it's
of
so interesting.
It's your truth, yeah. And it's your lived experience. And, you know, if there are any other super wokey tropes or wokenisms that I'm missing out on, just let me know. But she did use the terms your truth, your lived experience, which is quite odd seeing that the student lives in the United States.
And the fact that if she is partly Yemeni and partly Iranian, I would imagine that she understands what real ethnic cleansing is about.
Well, one would think so. One would think that, first of all, I find a Yemeni-Iranian mix quite interesting given that the Iranians are supporting Houthi rebels inside Yemen who are committing gross atrocities. And of course, all we need to do is bring up the situation for the Iranian terror regime that is in place, who are the largest sponsor of terrorism around the world, and a president of Iran who's known as the Butcher of Tehran.
It's just incredible. Do you think it's just a matter of being a people pleaser? And because she does strike me as sometimes, and I think that that's an affliction, by the way. I think we all, many of us, actually I'm not sure that I do suffer, but a lot of people suffer from people pleasing, which is a real, real affliction. And I'm surprised we haven't labeled something around it, because what we do is we just agree with everybody. We try and agree with everybody because we want to make them like us. So we don't stand up for truth. We don't have moral courage to stand up for what is right or wrong in case we are disliked. And I get the sense that that is very much intrinsic to who Harris is. What are your thoughts?
Well, I do think that. I think she's very much a fence sitter and will try and please wherever she can. But I think we also have an epidemic in universities around the world, and especially in the United States, where everybody is offended by everything and everybody needs a safe space from everything. And I think that there is such a reluctance to say, you know what, actually, I disagree with you. You know, heaven forbid we disagree. And one of the interesting things that I took away from Prime Minister Naftali Bennett's speech at the UNGA earlier this week, and I really got the sense that he was talking to a specific sector of American society, was that he focused on this polarization of left and right. And he said, you know, we've got the most diverse coalition in the country's history, and we come to the table every day with our different views and our different ideologies, and we disagree, and we're arguing, and he says, but it's okay. And I don't think Kamala Harris got the memo about that. I think people are so scared to be cancelled or to be seen as, you know, if you're not pleasing this person, you know, somebody's going to try and cancel you because you've offended them, instead of having really, really productive discussions around that and disagreeing. And it's very interesting for me to watch this, because we don't have this woke cancel culture in Israel, because God forbid you don't give anybody their opportunity to argue, debate you, and disagree with you.
Absolutely right. It's such an important thing, and we need to drive that message home as much as possible. Let's just talk, because you mentioned it, about Naftali Bennett's speech and the reaction to it. We did speak to Anthony Reich about it, but what I didn't discuss with Anthony was the Benjamin Netanyahu's reaction to the speech.
Well, this was just something else. You know, we can't take away from the former prime minister that all eyes were on him every time he did a speech at the UN. You know, we regard it as the Super Bowl because everybody is watching. You know, he had his props. It was seen as his real house. And the major news channels like CNN would, and Fox News would invariably cover it, because like him or loathe him, Netanyahu holds the room when he speaks. And I found Bennett following in his footsteps to hold his own. His speech was humble in places. It was optimistic in places. And it was very, very, very firm against Iran. He pulled no punches there. And yes, while he did omit to mention the Palestinians, which I think was intentional, I think that he was perhaps appealing to a different audience, a more left-leaning audience and a younger audience. And I found it fascinating, Howard, just my observation, that he would turn his head, the back of his head, to the cameras every so often. And the message that I got was, I don't need props, but I will remind you that I am a very proud Jewish leader, the Prime Minister of Israel.
In other words, he wore a prop.
The UNGA.
He was wearing the prop.
I just think, you know, that there's this body language expert who's excellent that I know, and, you know, maybe, you know, what his impressions rub off on me sometimes.
Right.
Just saying.
Absolutely. And then Netanyahu's reaction?
Well, I was following this on various social media platforms, and the former prime minister on Instagram, put out a picture of the room, which could be taken at any angle. Now, bearing in mind that delegations were strictly limited within the UNGA, you could have your main representative and maybe one or two other people. You couldn't take your delegations like you have been able to take in previous years. Bearing in mind that last year's session was pre-recorded, it was done via video streaming. And he put out, he said, he gave the illusion that there were only six people in the hall, which there weren't. There were many, many more in the hall. And he said, someone who only gets six seats, whether it's in an election or at the UNGA. And I thought that was appalling.
That is, you know, in such poor taste.
It's in very poor taste. You know, whatever domestic politics you want to disagree with in Israel, go for it. But when your prime minister is representing your nation as a whole on the global stage, get behind him. When it was Netanyahu's chance to address the UNGA in previous years, I remember this with Tzipi Livni, with other leaders of the opposition, they got behind the prime minister. Mm. They may have argued till the cows come home on domestic issues, but when he is out there representing us, you get behind him. And that was just absolutely appalling.
What was the reaction to that reaction?
Well, I think that unfortunately for Netanyahu, you know, instead of going out on a high, he's really shown himself to be a sore loser, somebody who's very, very bitter. And people did, with the exception of the diehard fans, people were not amused by that. It was seen as in poor taste. Here we have our prime minister making his
inaugural speech
at the UNGA.
Yeah, on a global stage, you're supportive because he's actually not representing. And it's so interesting because it indicates that when Netanyahu was in front of the UN, he felt like he was representing himself. Because if he felt that he was representing Israel, he would think the same thing about Naftali Bennett, and he would have been supportive of the fact that he's not representing himself, but he's representing the country. And the fact that he could undermine it means that he views it from a very, very self-centered perspective.
Well, absolutely. And the one thing that we did take away that many people spoke about was the humble tones and the emphasis on coalition and working together. And he didn't say my government, he said my partners. Mm-hmm. He was very clear to say that, which said humble. I mean, I thought that the expression on his face when he walked into the room was also quite telling. It was like, wow, I'm at the UNGA. You know, this is quite a moment for me. Mm. But he opened up just from a place of humility and a place of unity. And, you know, that really set the tone. And it was just sad to see the former PM's reaction to the speech.